And welcome to another episode of Fab Guys, presented by Friends with Fantasy Benefits. As always, I'm joined by Randy Haynes. Another week without Colin Leatherwax, but we are joined by the creator of probably any table you've seen on Twitter regarding TGFBI. Smatta, Matt joins us. Matt, what's going on, man?
Not much. Glad to be on with you guys.
Thanks for joining us. And you're obviously one of the brighter guys, I'd say, in the entire TGFBI for creating all the tables that you created and giving us access to even doing the Fab Guys stuff that we've been doing every week. And that's why we wanted to get you on the show. Before we get into the Fab Guys stuff, can you explain to us a little bit about your approach and how you went about everything regarding, I guess, you're proficient in R because we've talked about it on the side, but creating those tables and being able to make it functionable every single week?
Yeah. It's actually not that complicated, all said and done. I mean, there's some Excel formulas to help pull stuff down from Fantrax directly. So the standings and the fab. So that's automatically pulled down to like a Google Sheets doc every week. And the standings are updated multiple times a day. And then from there, shipping everything up to Tableau, and I kind of preset some tables and stuff like that, and it all auto-updates, so it's not too bad. It's just the fab, once a week I have to do some copy-paste jobs, but other than that, it's once I got it up and running, it wasn't too bad, so.
It's really been a great tool for not only us doing the show every week, but for everybody else that wants to see what players are going for, because it helps them in their other leagues, because the fab time in TGFBI is 8 p.m., I know the NFBC times are a little later, so guys can really reference that to see how much money they want to bid on guys in whatever other leagues they're in. So you're helping a lot of people out. I hope people are appreciative of that. Randy, we talked last week with Vlad about all the fab stuff, and we were on Twitch last week. That was the first one. Hopefully this one goes a little bit better, a little bit smoother. I know he had some mic issues. We'll just get right into it with the Fab Guys stuff, and I'll start with you, Randy. In League 8, Brett Sayre spent $51 on Keon Broxton, and he's had some tough luck. He has Lorenzo Cain, Jay Bruce, Cordero, and Solaire all in the DL. So he spent $51 on Broxton, and Broxton's been up and down throughout his career. What do you think about that?
Yeah, that's a tough disabled list to look at for Brett. But as far as Broxton goes, I mean, he's interesting. He's been up and down the last couple of years, had a 2020 season last year, back in 16 and half a season. He was kind of going on a close to like a 20-40 pace almost in half a season. So he's definitely a toolsy guy. He's interesting, strikes out a crap ton, as anyone that's followed him for any length of time, is aware of. And the issues with Broxton going forward is going to be when they get completely healthy. Lorenzo Cain isn't back as of recording today, but it looks like he should be back for the weekend. So the playing time might not be there for Broxton, but is there anybody that's watched the highlights has seen he's made a couple of really sick catches this week that could maybe keep the playing time there. Maybe they end up platooning him with Thames, and that keeps him up on the roster. If he kind of has that Domingo Santana role from earlier this season, that's not very fruitful in terms of playing time, and it's not very consistent. I think that was part of the issues with Santana never being able to get going this season, not getting a set playing time. So Broxton's interesting, and when you have the injuries like Brett has, you got to take a shot somewhere. So why not take a shot on a guy that could give you a 20-20 pace at least for half of a season or even for a month at a time?
Yeah, $51 isn't like he spent a boatload of money on him. We talked last week about Michael Taylor and how he was doing good. He might not be the greatest baseball player, but he could help you. It's kind of the same with Keon Broxton. He might not have the greatest skills as far as a baseball player goes, but he's just such an athlete that it's going to help him all around. Tyler Clippard in League 9 went to Alex Chamberlain for $81. League 13 went to Ray from HQ, $84. And in League 2, friend of the show, Anthony Aniano, spent $87 on Tyler Clippard. Now, these guys have had some closer issues. Chamberlain in League 9 lost to Para. Ray from HQ in League 13, he's actually getting Vizcaino back and still made the bid on Clippard. And Aniano has Boxberger and Diaz, so he's pairing Clippard with those guys. Talk to me a little bit about Tyler Clippard, Smatta.
I mean, you kind of know what you're getting into with Clippard. Like, he's not going to be great moving forward. This is a play for saves. I mean, if you're hurting in saves, you have to go for these guys at this point. I mean, an opening comes up, and I think we mentioned Tapera was lost for one, maybe two of these guys. I mean, it's a logical move to replace there. So, I mean, who knows how long he's going to have it, but for those prices, I mean, they didn't go over 100. And I see even some other leagues he went for, you know, 6, 17, 36, 38 bucks. I mean, it's understandable, and it's a decent play. I think there was a couple other guys that we'll get into that were available, but just one of those guys that, you know, you roll the dice and you hope he pans out for, you know, more than a couple of weeks here.
Well, that's what I was going to say, and I don't want to jump ahead here, but there's other closers on this list, like you said, we'll get to, and when we get there, I want to compare them a little bit to Clippard. Randy, Nate Eovaldi, I think this was one of your guys preseason, if I'm not mistaken, right before he got hurt, right? He was in your first article?
Oh, he was in my first article as someone to avoid. It was the exact opposite.
Someone to avoid.
Yeah, it was back when the bullpen thing for the Rays, and I said Nate Eovaldi was just a fancy word for bullpen day.
Yes, I remember that.
Exact opposite.
In League 2, Jim Bay spent $55. In League 12, Chris Boove, $80. And he actually benched Domingo Herman, Chris Stratton, and Ronaldo Lopez all this week. And Stratton, I guess I would take Eovaldi over those guys, considering we can Monday morning quarterback and now and see how Herman did. But what do you think about Eovaldi there for $55 and $80? Two-star week for him, if I'm not mistaken. He's pitching against the Mets this weekend.
Yeah, that was the thing. It was a two-star week for him. And he's been pretty decent so far. You know, the thing with Eovaldi is the strikeouts. They don't really seem to pile up for him like you would think somebody does with this kind of velocity he throws with and some of the stuff that he has. You know, but it's getting to the time of year where two start weeks matter anytime you can get them, and especially nice two start weeks like Eovaldi's going to have on deck for him. It was Miami Monday night, right? And then it's the Mets this weekend, so you can't ask for a much better slate than that. So I don't really have too much of an issue with it. You know, ride Eovaldi while he's hot, but I'm sure he'll have some kind of a hiccup injury-wise before the season's over.
Yeah, I picked him up in NFBC because of the two-start week, like you said, and two-star weeks do matter this time of the year. Because now is the time where all those guys like me who are behind in wins and strikeouts are picking up guys left and right. I mean, I'm throwing Mike Fiers. I never thought I'd be throwing Mike Fiers in fantasy baseball. So two-star weeks really do matter at this point. Max Fried, I know you probably know a lot about Smata, went for $53 to Heath Capps in League 10. Do you have anything on me for Fried? On Fried for me?
I mean, he's supposed to be starting, I think, what is it, today or tomorrow?
Yeah, he starts tonight.
Yeah, starts tonight. So, I mean, we'll see if he can stick in that role. I think it's going to be touch and go. I mean, if he performs, he may stick for a little bit, but I mean, we'll see. He's had the strikeouts so far, but he's also come with some walks. So again, I think this is just a play for upside out of a young guy with $53 here. He went for a lot cheaper. I think in terms of the amount for Fried, I think he could have gone definitely lower. He only went in five different leagues, and the most other than this bid was $29. So it's a little bit of an overpay, but I get it if you're trying to look for a little bit of upside and you're looking to move up in the standings just from that.
I think he could have gotten for a little less than 53, like you said. He's obviously stashing him for now to see what happens with him. He's in his reserves. A guy, and now we'll get into somebody that I actually heard on the radio today. Somebody called and said on WFAN, was asking if Matt Harvey was a possibility for the Yankees now that he's pitching a little better, because he was always destined to be a Yankee. So now someone's saying, should the Yankees go out and get Matt Harvey? $175 to Shoeless Joe in League 7. He did lose John Gray to the minors. Lost Clay Buchholz to injury. $175 for Matt Harvey. I'm not positive on what the other bids were for. Maybe you could tell me that, Smata. But Randy, who in their right mind is paying $175 for Matt Harvey at this point?
I mean, I've been pretty hard on Harvey in the articles that I've written for FWFB so far this season, and he's hasn't been terrible the last couple of weeks. So he's got that going for him. You know, it could be a thing where he needed a change of scenery. He's at least keeping the walks more under control since he's gone to Cincinnati, which if he's gonna turn into more of a control pitcher at this point in his career, since he doesn't have the, you know, the big time stuff that he had pre-thoracic outlet, that's at least a positive sign that he's maybe realizing he isn't the Dark Knight anymore. He's got to be some kind of knockoff, you know, version that he bought at the Halloween costume store, I guess. But, you know, to adjust pitching was always kind of the deal that was always kind of the issues with him with the Mets last year, and then so far this year. I feel like he wasn't adjusting to not having premium stuff anymore. He didn't really know how to pitch, or if he did, he was just being too stubborn to. So, yeah, things are all looking better for Harvey, but I can't do $175, whatever that was. I can't do it.
I totally agree with you. Smatt, you agree with us?
Yeah, my bid would be nothing. I'm not a believer. It's, you know, a run of three or four starts where he's gone five, six innings with, you know, three or less earned runs, four starts in a row there. I mean, yeah, but the strikeouts are 2-6, 2-6. I mean,
I was just about to bring that up. The low strikeout totals, but he is facing some good lineups here. Milwaukee, at Atlanta, the Cubs. I mean, Pittsburgh's not great, but they got a couple guys that could hit. These are four starts that he put together in a row that do show maybe there's some promise in the future, but not $175 worth of promise. I don't think he's going out there throwing complete games. That would be $175 worth. Right. But his six innings, two strikeouts, I think you could have spent a lot less money there. Kelvin Herrera in League 7 went for $51, and I guess this is kind of a handcuff here. He doesn't have Sean Doolittle, but maybe he thinks Sean Doolittle either loses the role down the road or he's just praying for something to happen. $51 for Herrera, Randy.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask, is if he was handcuffing him to Doolittle. You know, not the best buy in the world, but you know, Doolittle does not have a good track record in terms of health, so maybe Herrera can slide in. And I know Dusty Baker's not there anymore, but maybe his ghost is still hanging around there and wants to mix things up in the bullpen that don't really make sense. So, yeah, maybe he'll end up stealing a couple of saves that way. But you know, honestly, the way the Nats are playing the last couple of weeks, there might not be a lot of save opportunities for Herrera or Doolittle.
Yeah, and they got out to a 7-0 deficit today. Yeah, 7-0 in the second inning. They said Hellickson was sick before the game, and he was on a pitch count, but I don't think they expect him to be that bad. In League 2, Kevin Lauder spent $50 on Nick Kingham, and I was pretty high on Kingham, Smatt. I know you're a prospect guy. I don't know if you were as high on him as I was. And then Nick Pollock came out with something for a pitcher list saying how great Kingham is going to be and pick him up as soon as you can, and that even made me buy more into the hype. And then he had the bad start, so I'm kind of wait and see here on Kingham. $50, though. Pretty good deal, I would say. What do you think, Smatta?
Yeah, it's not bad. I mean, he's performed well when he's had the opportunity. You know, he's almost at a K per nine, and 2.35 walks nine. I mean, his ERA has been up a little bit, but I think it's worth a $50 play here. You know, these guys that can come out and perform well, they don't grow on trees. I mean, you're talking about Mike Fiers, right? I mean, this guy can come up and do some things. He definitely changed his I think he changed a little bit of his arsenal in AAA this year and come up, and he's performed well in both places. So I'm definitely in on Kingham when he's available. It's just how long does he stick in the rotation moving forward. So that's a big question mark with him.
Yeah, I agree. He doesn't really have the stability you would want in spending $50 on somebody as far as a secured spot on the rotation goes. I think if he performs, he'll be pretty secure there. But if he doesn't perform, they're going to send him back down pretty quickly. Tyler Mahle went for $52 in League 8 to Andrew Lamont. Anything to say on this, Randy?
Yeah, Molly's a little – he's interesting for me at least. The strikeouts are starting to really tick up here as of late. You know, Mahle was somebody who was a control guy in the minors. The walks have kind of bit him so far, and a little bit last year, and then his, you know, 17 starts so far this season. But I saw something today, and I don't have it up in front of me because my computer isn't cooperating, but he is in the last 30 days. I believe he's in the top 15 in swinging strike rate. You know, throughout the entire major, so that's trending in the right direction. His next couple starts, I believe, are the Cubs and the Indians, which isn't ideal, but that could be, you know, something. Once you get past that, it could be a nice play in the second half, especially if the strikeouts are going to stay where they're at.
Yeah, and I guess I missed this one. I'm looking here on my phone on June 30th. I didn't even realize that he went 5 2/3 and had 12 strikeouts. So that was a huge game for him. Game for that, 5 innings, 3 runs. Game for that, 6 innings, 2 runs, 8 strikeouts. He did have one against Kansas City, which you would think he would have his best game. He went 6 1/3, only struck out one guy. But he did give up no runs that game. So he has been pitching a little better as of lately, and the 12 strikeouts are definitely promising. Now, this is another closer I want to get into here. It's Willy Peralta, and he was the most bid on player at least money-wise, in TGFBI this past week. And we talked about Clifford before. Before, I want to get into the bids here. Who would you rather have rest of the season, Tyler Clifford or Willie Peralta? Smata?
I'd rather go Peralta. I think Clifford could be bounced in a week. I mean, so could Peralta, but I mean, is he going to have the opportunity to do so? he's come in, performed well. I'm actually kind of interested in him. I don't 100% have the stats to back up that assertion right now, but I really think that the role is more secure moving forward. I actually bid on him in a dynasty league where I just really needed saves. And I think at this point, that's kind of how you got to play it is, you know, I mentioned it earlier, if you need saves, you have to bid on every single one moving forward. And if you've got a large fab budget remaining and you're halfway through the season, I mean, you've got to put out those large bids to get what you need. And right now, if what you need is Willie Peralta, that's unfortunate, but that's where you got to spend your money.
Randy, I agree with Smata there saying I'd rather have Peralta than Clifford. I don't want to roster Tyler Clifford anywhere. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I would take Peralta. I mean, the question in general is kind of disgusting. You know, would you rather Tyler Clifford or Willie Peralta? But yeah, I do think there was some rumblings this week that when Roberto Osuna does return, they're going to put him back into the closer role. So, you know, even if Clifford and Peralta both stink, at least there's an expiration date on Clifford, at least where Peralta could keep it through the rest of the season. And even when the Royals were good, most of their decisions didn't really make a lot of sense. So I have no reason to believe they'll be removing Peralta from that role, yeah, unless he starts to really struggle. And you know, he's somebody that when he got moved to the bullpen last season with Milwaukee, you know, velocity, you know, ticked up to about 96, which was nice to see. So he's somebody he can maybe hold it down for his one save opportunity every 2 weeks, and if he can bring it, you know, we'll take the saves as fantasy owners.
Yeah, for sure. So let me get to the bids on him. It was in League Four. Jeff Zimmerman loses Shane Green, spends $53 on Peralta. Good get, I would say. In my league, League 6, Prospect Jesus spends $69 on him. His only closer was Felipe Vasquez. In League 9, Alex Chamberlain, who lost Ryan Tepera, he went after Clifford and went after Peralta. So he got both the guys we're talking about, spent $81. Justin Mason, the founder of TGFBI in League 1, lost Shane Green, went after him for $103. Craig Mish, who's one of the top guys in TGFBI right now, standings-wise, lost to Para, spent $116. And this is where it gets a little crazy. Brett Sayre spent $132 in League 8 on him. He has Iglesias, he has Rodney. And Shoeless Joe, who we just mentioned, spent $175 on Matt Harvey, also spends $175 on Willie Peralta in League 7. So I don't know what he was waiting for. Was he waiting this whole season to spend his money on Matt Harvey and Willie Peralta?
Big week for him. I know at one point he was near the Smata would actually know more than I do, but I do think at one point he was near the top of the overall fairly recently. So maybe he's trying to solidify his spot up there.
Maybe if you could check that out for us, Matt. League 7, Shoeless Joe spending almost over $300 on Matt Harvey and Willie Peralta. So while you check that out, we'll get into the next guy, Randy, Jorge Polanco, who I'm a pretty big fan of this guy. He's kind of like a forgotten man in fantasy. That's the feeling I'm getting. In League 8, he went for $51, which I think is a great buy. And Brett Sayre has him and Tim Anderson that he could swap out at middle infielder. And in League 9, Adam Ronis, who's also – he's 13th overall in the entire TGFBI. Not only is he getting AJ Pollock back, but he adds Jorge Polanco, and this is a guy that's 13th overall. So his hitting must be pretty deadly. I can't tell you the rest of his roster, but adding those two guys at this point in the season is a pretty good deal, no?
Yeah, it's a good buy. I think the Polanco buzz, though, in general is getting a little crazy because, I mean, he was decent last year. You know, played almost the full season, 13 home runs, 13 steals, which isn't bad, especially in the middle infield. But, you know, only an 89 WRC plus. I don't really think he's that, at least to me, doesn't appear to be that dynamic of a hitter. And things could get a little dicey, you know, if Miguel Sano gets recalled, because I do think, you know, assuming Minnesota recalls him at some point, they're not going to call him up to sit on the bench. And the way Eduardo Escobar is going, they can't bench him. So playing time could end up being an issue for Polanco. But for right now, you know, it's a decent buy, especially at the dollar amounts that he was going for everyday playing time in the middle infield.
He's kind of a guy that's like a compiler. Like he'll compile those stats for you when the year ends, no matter how he does it. But the thing is, now we don't know.
Yeah, half a season's already gone, so that compiling is.
Yeah, you know, that's eight, one thing. And
you know, is he gonna get 8 home runs, 8 steals? I mean, that's.
Yeah.
That, I mean, that adds up, but that's nothing to get. At least it's nothing for me, nothing to jump up and down about.
I could use 8 homers, 8 steals right now. So,
yeah. I know the buzz last year was in the second half, 128 WRC plus, and he was, he was doing things with the bat in the second half. So, I think it was it's the hope that he comes back and basically starts to repeat what he did in the second half. I mean, I think he's going to probably fall somewhere in between there, but it was 10 home runs, 7 stolen bases in the second half.
And that was a great Minnesota lineup that he was in where everybody was hitting. Right. Now it's not the same, so those numbers might change a little bit.
Well, maybe him and Eduardo Escobar switched uniforms for the first half this year, because Escobar was never really too much to brag about, so maybe we'll see who the real one is at the second half, since they're both going to be in the lineup.
Yeah, maybe. I know. I think Eddie Rosario is probably the best player on the team at this point, and because that guy's absolutely insane. League Two, Hector Rondon, which I think the fact that he wasn't owned beforehand is pretty crazy, and the fact that he only went for $95 is pretty crazy, considering we just talked about Willie Peralta going for 175, 132, 116, 103, and the numbers we talked about with Clippert earlier. Hector Rondon's great. He's having a great season. Has a track record on the best team in baseball, arguably. Going to get to save opportunities. I'm all over Hector Rondon for $95 here. I think this is probably the ad of the week. Smatter, you agree?
Yeah, I definitely agree. I'm surprised he was available. This is a guy that I blew the rest of my fab on, was it 2 weeks ago now? And I think I got him for $160, although I think that was like the highest of that week. It's one of those where, I mean, Giles got to save. I think that was last night.
Went into extras, though.
And Rondon, I think, had pitched within 2 innings the night before. Yeah, one in the third.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to get the saves there, and he's going to have the opportunities. So this is a huge, huge get, especially if he solidifies that role even more moving forward.
You agree that Rondon is a way better get than Peralta and Clippert?
Randy? Yeah, what the hell, League 2? Can we do some cross league trading next year if somebody's just going to cut Hector Rondon? I mean, I don't know the situation of who cut him and why, but I would think if you had a roster crunch, you could deal somebody like that and get a pretty decent return. So that's a nice grab there in League 2.
It's you could provide context to explain a lot of things, but I don't care what the context is. There's no reason Hector Rondon should be a free agent at this point in the season. Will Smith, another guy who's been having a very good season, $62 in League 9 to Doug Thorburn, who only had Sean Doolittle as a closer, and $97 in League 12 to John Heglin, who owns Mark Melanson, so it's a bit of a handcuff here. What do you guys think about Will Smith? I think Will Smith is better than Willie Peralta and Tyler Clippert as well. No, Randy?
Skills-wise, yeah, I think he's better, but I don't know what's going on out there in the Giants bullpen. I mean, Melanson's still getting some shots, but I know can he still not pitch on back-to-back days? And when he had a major implosion last weekend on Sunday that was really bad. So I kind of want nothing to do really with this Giants bullpen for now.
The Giants bullpen has been shaky since Strickland went down, and I thought Melanson was going to be the guy there at least short term and long term. But I don't really know what they're doing there. But I do like Will Smith for the $62. What do you think about that one, Smetta?
Yeah, I agree. I'm holding on to Melanson right now in my league. I drafted him, and he's just been on my DL until recently. So I think I've got him in my lineup. I've been for saves all year. So, you know, I'm right on the cusp of even dropping Melanson. It just seems like it's going, you know, to everyone else but him at this point. So Will Smith has got the skills for sure. And the only thing I think holding back is that he's a lefty. And I know Bochy's kind of like old school in that way. So I don't know if that's I honestly don't know what to make of it either. And that's I'm about to get rid of Melanson just because I don't want a part of that. And that's a valuable roster spot at this point. So
yeah, I agree.
So investing in Will Smith, I think, is worth it, though.
Yeah, I like Will Smith. A couple more guys here before we wrap this up. Ramel Tapia, who's been speculative ad all season long. In League 4, Andrew Dewhurst spent $62 on him. I mean, $62 is a little much, I would say, for Tapia, but who knows? It could turn out to be a great bid there. He did lose Lorenzo Cain to the DL, and he had Souza on the DL, who's now got activated today. So any thoughts on Tapia? I know Colin would kind of berate the Colorado Rockies organization for their moves here.
Yeah, I mean, I like Tapia skills-wise, and of course anybody that gets some playing time out in Coors is always going to be on the radar, but the playing time is going to be the thing for Tapia. I don't know where the consistent playing time is really going to come from for him. But as far as the Rockies, I mean, they do kind of deserve to get a little flack here. I mean, sending John Gray down when you've got Chad Bettis is a human batting practice, you know, machine, and everything else that's going on out there. And this is coming from an Orioles fan. I can confidently say the Rockies don't know what they're doing either. So
listen, everything has gone wrong for the Rockies, it seems like, this year, but they're still only 4 games out of division. So yeah. Who knows? Maybe they turn things around here. Maybe Tapia is a part of it. $85, League 7, Kyle Tucker was stashed by Donkey Teeth. And like I said earlier, you're a prospect guy, Smata. Kyle Tucker here, $85 worth stash.
I mean, yeah, if you've got some trouble in your outfield, $85 is a little much, but, you know, if you've got the fab to spend, I mean, it's a guy that I think is worth spending on. I think he's up within the month, but, you know, he kind of does everything. He's got some batting average, some pops, some steals. I don't know how much he's going to steal at the major league level, but, you know, I mean, it's one of those lightning in a pan things. If he comes up and he's raking from the start, like, this is a huge, huge get. It kind of reminds me of those that there was 1 week where Vlad was went for, like, in that $80 range across almost all the leagues because it was starting to get to that point. He got injured the next week, and I think it's kind of in that breadth where he's a couple weeks away, and this is the time to invest, and he wanted to make sure he got him. So I don't think it's a bad investment, but he was the highest by far in that. And I wouldn't be surprised if Tucker's available still in a couple of these leagues.
Yeah. Before we get to your prospects, because I want to get to that really quick, Zach Wheeler, Randy, we talked about him in the group chat with me, you, and Colin. We talked about him last week. We might have even talked about him the week before. You spent $61 on him in League 10. Chris Towers spent $175 on him in League 2 and didn't start him this week. So I don't know what you're doing, Chris Towers, spending that kind of money and not putting somebody in. But Zach Wheeler, it must feel good for you to see a $61 bid go through when guys are spending $175.
Yeah, I mean, I've been trying to grab Wheeler where I can over the last few weeks, and it was nice this week. He was supposed to have a 2-start week. The Mets moved some things around, so now he's going to get a 2-start next week. But skills-wise, Wheeler's really started to turn things around here over the last month. You know, he's keeping the walks down, the strikeouts are up. You know, he's still not the most efficient guy around, so he's not going to go too crazy deep into ball games. You know, but you like the division that he's in, so I recommend getting Wheeler wherever you can when he's out there. I've scooped him up in a dynasty league, scooped him up in a couple redrafts, and then as well as the bidding this past weekend. I don't have it up in front of me what the 2-step's going to be next week, but I do think it's going to be pretty decent. I think Pittsburgh's on there. I can look up who the other starters against, but I do think Wheeler's somebody, if he's out there in your league, to go grab him, because we could be in for a big second half finally for any of the Zach Wheeler believers from way back.
Yeah, him and Matt's really turned it around here, and it's weird to think that the Mets are actually doing good with their pitching. I know Syndergaard's hurt, but between DeGrom, Matt's, and Wheeler, they're all having pretty good seasons, at least as far as Matt's and Wheeler go. We all know DeGrom's having an insane season. All right, so before we wrap it up, Smata, you're the prospect guy. You're one of the best prospect guys at FWFB, if not all of prospect Twitter. So what kind of prospects do you have coming up for us the rest of the season? Anybody intriguing as far as they just had the draft? Anything you want to talk about to anybody prospect-wise, just give us what you got.
Yeah, I mean, the guys coming up that are like on the verge, I think is kind of what I want to talk about a little bit. I mean, one guy in particular, Francisco Mejia, I don't know if he's going to catch in the major leagues, but they're going to make room for his bat, I think. He's had a crazy month of June. I've got it up since May 24th and through the rest of June, he hit .443. So dude's on fire. And that's a guy I'd look to stash probably pretty soon here. I mean, he's been up before, so I could totally see it, especially if there's an injury. I think he may be one of the next ones up. So, you know, another guy, Alex Verdugo, I think, what was it? There's been some stuff going on Twitter where he's kind of getting into the launch angle revolution here. he almost looked like Bellinger with his latest home run.
Morrison, and that really paid out well for me.
Yeah, I don't know, but Verdugo, I mean, he's already got that contact ability. He's just solid. He's also been up before. If there's an opening in that outfield, I'd jump on Verdugo in pretty much all formats at this point, especially if he's starting to tap into that power. So there's that. Another guy, probably not coming up now, but maybe more August, is Kesson Hira. He's also been super hot, really good since getting called up to Double A. He's someone I'm looking at for sure. You know, not a ton of power, but he's one of those guys that's going to come up, and I think he's going to post 300 batting average from the get-go. He's got great skills there. So another guy I'm really high on late in the year for a late pickup. You know, the guys that we all want and we all want to see, Vlad and Eloy. It's unfortunate that they're both injured, but you know, I'd keep an eye out on Twitter about any grumblings about how they're progressing. I think I actually stashed Eloy before the injury, and I'm probably going to drop him. They said it's only a couple of weeks, but you know, at this point, I think it's a little early to have a roster spot on both of them, with them being out. So especially with Vlad, that talk on, I can't remember who was it, if it was just the GM of the Blue Jays coming out and saying, you know, oh, Vlad might be good for a Triple A call up soon. It's like, gotta be kidding me. Yeah, outside of that, I know there's been a lot of talk about Peter Alonso too this year. He's been hot the entire year.
He just got named to the Futures game, if I'm not mistaken. With the AAA All-Star.
Oh, okay.
The AAA All-Star game.
Yeah, I mean, he raked a AA, he's raking a AAA. There was some mention that he wouldn't get called up at all this year, but, you know, it's another one of those guys that if he's called up at all, he's must own in all formats. That's another, you know, keep your eyes on Twitter on that one. But the other guy, it's unfortunate. You know, I saw somewhere on Twitter that Robles is swinging the bat, which is cool. But Victor Robles, I don't see it this year, especially with Soto coming up and being as good as he's been. It's already crunched in the outfield out there in Washington. So, you know, that's an unfortunate situation. But if there's an injury or string of injuries out there, they're going to move to the future and look to see what they have while they're on their way out with Harper, especially if I think – it's funny. I think it's if they're losing is now continue to lose, is if Robles, you know, sees any playing time.
And he was a guy that everyone was high on before the season, so he kind of was a waste of a pick for a lot of guys because a lot of guys were picking him pretty decently high as far as based on his potential. Randy, before we go, you have anything you want to plug? You want to plug your Streams and Nightmares?
Yeah, Streams and Nightmares every week on FWFB, previewing every two-start pitcher that's playing for the week. It actually is going to have a little hiatus with the All-Star break coming up, but I still might work up something else to kind of take its place for 2 weeks from now when we have the All-Star break.
All right. Smata, anything you're working on that you want to plug?
You know, as of right now, just really working on the continuing to build on top of the tableau with the TGFBI standings. Recently put on another tab where you can kind of see the distribution of all the stats. It's each block within this kind of distribution for like home runs individually. You can highlight your own team and kind of see where you are in the overall standings across all the different categories at once. So hoping to build on that. And also just from the prospect side, building out something that I'm hoping will be dynamic and static out there where it'll be basically according to Steamer projections, which players, which prospects have improved their stock the most since the beginning of the season. So taking their preseason Steamer projections and then seeing, okay, they've increased it X percent. These are the guys that have risen the most, not necessarily are the best minor league players at this time, but the ones that have improved their skills the most according to Steamer.
All right. So definitely something to look forward to. Everybody go follow Randy RTH 222. go follow Smata at Smata_BB. Follow me at Mike the Rotocop. And if you guys can, if you listen to the podcast, listen to the whole thing, go to podcastawards.com and nominate for the Podcast Awards for the People's Choice and Sports categories. That's People's Choice and Sports categories. Appreciate it, guys. Catch you later.